in our life, different ways, different things that we are facing every single day. And every single moment of our life, we are determining what is the decision that we're going to take on that specific situation. I call that opportunities. That's opportunities that God is giving you to apply His word. And that opportunity, it will determine the path that you are deciding to go. Are you doing your will, or are you doing the will of God according to His word? Because sometimes when we are trying to do the will of God, is going against your flesh, your desires, what you want. And that's the sacrificing step over there and say, oh, I want to do this on my flesh, on my desires, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do His will, because that's the pathway that He wants me to go. And that's sacrificing. And that's why I want to present that topic to you guys today. Because the real true worshipers sacrifice their path, not going by their desires, but by His desire and His will. Amen. You guys know where I'm going, right? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Really specific here, Paul, when he's writing this letter. After he went all the chapters 1 through 11, therefore, I already talked to you about some things over there. Sins, law, flesh, a lot of things. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. We're looking at God's mercy in this upcoming statement that I'm going to say, Paul, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Not the worshiping that we're coming here every Sunday. That's good. I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't get me wrong. That's good. We're coming over here. We worship God. Raise our hands. We love you. We praise you. But the true and proper worship is holy and pleasing to God every single day of our life, in viewing His mercy. That's the real living sacrifice in our life. Not doing what we want, but what He wants. And then he states in verse 2, maybe what we need to do in order to accomplish the first statement in verse 1. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world. What is going on around us. What is going around the news. What is going on around your life. Some things that is maybe not from God. There's some things in your life that is from God. But there's other things that is not from God. And what is the decisions that we're making? What is the path that we are going with this? Are we really sacrificing what we want, or are we really doing His will in our life? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you will be able. Otherwise, it sounds like, is there other path? You will not be able to understand God's will. Do not conform the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able. Otherwise, you will not be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's just close it here, pray, and go home. It's good enough, right? It's beautiful, Word of God. He's telling everything over there. It's expressing everything that we need to know. And then when we continue learning about sacrificing our paths, our livings, our lives, we will understand the real true worshipers that He is looking in spirit and truth, not just worshiping something else that we don't know. Like the Samaritans. We know who is God in our life. If you really know who is in your life, you know that the manifestation of God in different life, in different stories, in your life also, it is manifesting in different ways. As your healer, Rapha, Shalom, bringing your peace in your life. Adonai, He is your king. He is your father, God. He's your creator. Yireh, or Jireh? Jireh, thank you. Your provider. He's providing you. He's the one giving you the work that you have, the food that you have on your table, the roof that you have in your house. He's the one. And when we understand that in our life, you're worshiping the right thing because you know who is he is, and you're worshiping because you know. It's not like the Samaritans that they don't know. They're just worshiping, flowing by the flow, by the family, maybe by the culture, maybe by traditions, maybe something. A God that is, doesn't have anything. It's just a God from the tree, maybe a God from another animal. I don't know, a God from other things. But it's not the true real God, the creator, Jehovah, Yahweh, our real God. Okay, and then when I keep studying through these, I went to Psalm 50. And Psalm 50, and also Micah, we will see the same story. It's kind of the same concept. And inside of here, we like to share just 3 points with you guys. So in Psalm 50, we will learn about one of the main musicians in the King David, a choir. He was one of the main ones. But also, he was so prominent in that time that he was considered like a prophet. And we can go to 2 Chronicles 29:30. 2 Chronicles 29:30, the Bible says, King Hezekiah and his officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph, the seer, the prophet, in other words. So they sang praises and gladness and bowed down and worshipped. I'm just trying to show you that according to Scripture, this person named Asaph, he was considered a prophet through the Psalms that he's expressing. And we can continue learning more about all the things that he was doing in the worshiping choir of David, King David. And all the things that he expressed over there, that it was manifested from God to our life as a worshiper. He was not just be focusing in the worship of songs or symbols, instruments, or anything like that. He was also thinking of other things related of our living, normal living life. So let's go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50, it was one of his psalms that he wrote. Verse 1, the mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me these consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I will not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. What amazing. He's saying, I don't need the burnt offerings. I don't need the animals. Because God understood that anyway, that was just foreshadowing what was coming later with Jesus Christ. It was not the intent to maybe clean our sins in that moment. It was just a representation of what's going to happen in the future with Jesus Christ. So that way we can understand what was the reason of the burnt offering. What was the offering on the cross from Jesus Christ? Yes, in that time, the people in their conscience, they was just going and presenting the animals, the best animal that they have, and then my sins are forgiven. I'm good to go. Let's continue with my crazy life. And I think that's why God says, I don't want your animals, because you're still sinning. You're still doing your old life, your own things. You're not doing my will. And that's fine, because this is just a foreshadowing, about what's coming in the future with Jesus Christ. What is amazing for me is that he say, from the Mount Zion, heavens, he's calling everyone. And I'm going to share with you guys Micah 6, which is a representation of the court of God. Bring into the court, or the courts of God. And say, hey, heaven, come over here. Mountains, come over here. Normally in the mountains, it was the location where the people worship. It was the location where the people put temples. It was the place where the people would put the burnt offerings or present offerings to God. And Mount Zion, as you guys know, it was where God brings the law, the Ten Commandments. And also is known as the Holy Mountain right now because of that reason. There's several mountains around Jerusalem. One of them is going to be the same mountain where we, according to Scripture, Jesus Christ raised, went to heaven, and he say that was rose, and then also will come back in the second coming. So the mountains are special. And it's really interesting for me that in this psalm, Asaph, through God, say, let me call the heavens, let me call the mountains, and be the witness to the people. And say, do we need the burnt offerings? Do we need the animals? I'm the owner of all these guys. What are you talking about? I am the creator of the animals. I know every single bird. Come on. I know everything. I know everyone. I don't need that. I just need a thanksgiving offering from you. That's it. I just need that heart. Thanksgiving. And when we go more into the learning of thanksgiving, what he wants, God, in our lives is everything in your life. Also your will. And that's why we are kind of going through all these situations in our life, to try to remove our will and desires and let his will lead in us. Open the doors that it needs to be open and closing the doors that it needs to be closed by his will. Deuteronomy 23:21, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. That's what he wants. He wants your will to be according to his will. It's so beautiful because he's letting us to make the decisions. It's more beautiful than being like a marionette or a robot or something like that is controlled by something or someone. It is you by your own will desiring his will be manifested in your life. And that's what he wants. That's why he say, I don't want your burnt offerings. Because that's you. You want to just do it because you know that by the law it says that we're supposed to do that. But I want your heart. I want the thanksgiving offering. And Thanksgiving is kind of, in these days, charity, offering help to other ones. And when you do that, when you have that heart, that means you are putting in the place of the other ones. That means you are keeping unity between each other. And that's the opportunities that God is giving in our life to apply His word and do His will. When we continue learning more about the Psalm 50, we will see God denounces hypocrisy from verse 16 through 21. And then I want to go to verse 22, 23. Because on 16 through 21, He then starts talking a little bit stronger to the wicked. But then He closed out with 22 and 23 this way. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces. Ouch. With no one to rescue. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. And to the blameless, I will show my salvation. That's it. It doesn't say anything else. Thanksgiving, offering, is what He wants. He don't need the animals. He's not going to ask you if he's hungry. He say, hey, I'm hungry. John, can you present to me a calf? He's not going to do that because He knows everything and He owns everything. Hallelujah. And that's great. That's amazing. He's God. Now, when we go to Micah, let's go to Micah. Micah is kind of the same concept. This is another prophet. And Micah, for me, is presenting three little things over there that is kind of a good revelation to us to see if we can apply that in our life. And remember, God just wants us to manifest His will, not our will. Micah 6. And this verse is, it will show us three different points that He's asking us, if you apply it, if you apply those principles, you will presenting a real worshiping to God in your life. Again, the court, it's open. We are in the courts with God. And this is verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up. Plead my case before the mountains. Again, the same thing. The same thing of Asaph. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against His people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? Do you think God doesn't know? He knows, right? He knows everything. Do you think He's just asking because He knows the answer? He knows the response. How have I burned you? Answer me. He just wants you from your own will, from your own heart, to answer Him. He knows the answer already. He knows your heart. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak. King of Moab plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. Once again, mountains, come over here. We open the courts. I'm going to plead against my people. I don't know what's going on with them. He knows. But he wants for you from the heart to say that and then testify. These people are believing in other gods. These people are worshiping other gods. I'm pleading against them. Mountains, you are my witness. It's true or no? Yeah, I know. They're coming over here with other gods. I don't know. That's their decision. Don't blame me. I'm not controlling that. It sounds like that, right? Because he's calling the mountains and saying, yes, it's true. They're supposed to worship you, God, not other gods, not presenting offerings to other gods, just to you. And that's why he opened that way and gets to the point of saying, what I did to you, I take you out of a slavery. Do you remember what happened with Balak? What happened with that? I save you. I protect you. The king in that moment wants to destroy the people of Israel, and I protect you. Balaam prophesied over you and declared over you blessings 3 times instead of condemnation from this king. It was me. It was not you. God, not me, John Melendez. I did that to you. I protect you. I cover you. I remove you out of the slavery. Why you are worshiping other gods, in other words. And then he said, verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with cows a year old? The same thing of Asaph in Psalm 50. Will the Lord be pleased by thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, my first of my body for the sin of my soul? No. He will not be pleased by all those things. He wants your heart. And how you present that to him, how you present that in our daily life, Thanksgiving offering, and then to this point, right now. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? There you go, guys. And here we go, the 3 points, 3 principles. To act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. That's it. Those 3 things. He already showed you that. He already declared all those things to you. Those 3 things, and you will be a real worshiper. Now, let's go by the first one. Act justly. That's the first point. When we talk about act justly, it's talking about justice, righteousness, integrity, being equity with everyone, with the same, having the same heart, understanding that the other person is a creation by God also. It not only implies compliance with the law, but moral also, ethical, and social justice. It's closely related to compassion and responsibility towards the other's people. When we learn more about this word, the central concept over here is that we will be pursuing the justice. We are looking to act justly. So when we read in Deuteronomy 16:18, it says, appoint judges. This is God talking. And officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you. And they shall judge the people fairly. Fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess. It's really important. Follow justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. God already gave you a land. You have the possession of that land, but you have to act justly. According to this scripture, you have it. In your destiny, you have it. Maybe if you don't have it or you don't see it right now with your own eyes or your own spiritual eyes, you have it. It's just that we need to act justly. And when we learn more and continue learning more about this, in Psalm 104, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. The second one that I want to share is love mercy. Love mercy is having compassionate heart, enjoying doing good. Adopt mercy as a lifestyle. It's not just be merciful one time. It's having mercy all the time manifested in your life. And pay attention how the Bible says, at least in the NIV. I don't know all the translations. But NIV says, love mercy. It doesn't say do mercy. Because if you love mercy, you will do mercy by itself. It's just going to flow automatically every single second of your life. Also to those unconformities that we have in our life. Situation, problem, friends, coworkers, family. Love mercy. If we love mercy, it will be just more than doing good deeds. It is living with a spirit of grace because you already love it. You are enjoying it, being merciful to other people when people are not doing something maybe right to you. Maybe you're not living the life that you maybe want because you're going through some situations in your life, but you're still loving mercy. And God will act justly in your life because you are also acting justly in your life. Compassionate, unconditional love for others, reflecting the goodness that one also expects to receive. I always say this: if I want to receive mercy, I should act with mercy. If I'm not acting with mercy, I'm not supposed to expect mercy back. And some people use a terminology of a plate, like a food plate, full of platter or whatever, with flowers. And I give in that to the person. Beautiful flowers, different colors, nice, good smell flowers. So I'm expecting that back. But when I'm not receiving it, God knows. I'm not just gonna start taking my own decisions and will and do what I want to that person. He's the judge, not me. He's the one that died for us, not me. I didn't die for the people. I'm just another follower from Jesus Christ. And I'm gonna let him do what he's from him, which is judging. The last one that I want to share with you guys, it says the Bible, walk humbly. Walking humbly, what does that mean? It means recognizing the greatness of God and your own smallness. He's the owner. He's the one that created everything, not us. He's the owner of the calves, of the animals, the birds, everything, and everyone in our life, not me. I'm just part of his creation. And I thank him for that, for giving me the opportunity to be in this world right now, at this moment, be the husband of Jeanette and the father of John, Daniel, and Jaili. Until he desires, I mean God, I will enjoy the moment. And he's the one that desires to put me here, to be your friends, to be part of this church, this community. Thank you also for all you guys to be here, because this is beauty. This is beautiful. This is his will manifesting in our life, creating this community, relationships between us. All the glory to him. He's the one causing everything in our life. Living with dependence, not self-sufficiency. That means walking humbly. He's the one that we, without a humble heart, we humiliate ourselves so that way he take the control, not me. Having an obedient and teachable heart and walking with reverence. The Hebrew word that translates that word of walking humbly, it means humiliate you, me, myself, which is the way of life, not just an emotional moment. It means walking daily with reverence, simplicity, and faithfulness to God. Humiliate ourselves before our God is to live in a simple, sincere, and submissive way to God, recognizing who He is and who you are. It is not weakness. It is the root of a strong and true faith in our life. This week, this past week, we have our small group over here. Like Jeanette says, we have it on Thursday. Please feel free to come and let's continue learning more about the scripture. Ephesians 4, we were talking about be humble. And I want to share with you guys Ephesians 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and also 6, until 6. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Calling that you receive. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's a difficult part, and I know. Different cultures, language, mentality, point of view, and collide sometimes. But according to Scripture, what God wants in our life is unity. Anyway, we are having different point of view. We have to find a way to keep unity. The enemy of our souls is going to always try to divide us. That's his purpose. From the beginning, in heaven, according to Scripture, third part of the angels, separation, division. That's his target. That's his goal. You and I, we already know that. How are you going to fight against that? Unity. Simple. Not giving the glory to your desires and flesh, so that way you're giving the glory to the enemy of our soul. Give the glory to God, keeping unity between you, each others, us. Simple. Simple equation. It's just neglecting those desires in our life. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's just one. It's not two different gods, three gods, four gods, five gods. It's just one. And according to this scripture, Paul writing from prison when he was in Rome, he say, hey, Ephesians, keep unity, humble heart, be gentle, patient between you guys. That's the target. That's the goal. Don't give anything. Don't give that step to the enemy. Win the fight, keeping unity. Because you have been called for that, according to Scripture, to keep unity, one. This is a statement that I read that I want to include here today. Idolatry is worshiping anything that ought to be used, or using anything that ought to be worshipped. With God, it's just faith. It's just believing in Him. It's giving the glory to Him. That's it. Money, cars, life, or other stuff over there that is creating our worshiping to those things is to be used. To use it, to take it and use it for some benefits in our life. But the real true worshipers is just giving the glory to God, all the will to Him, manifested through us, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And let's see how finish in Micah. After those 3 points, listen, the Lord is calling. I'm in verse 9. To the city, and to fear your name is wisdom. Head, the rod, and the one who appointed. Am I still to forget your ill-gotten treasures, you wicked house, and the short ephah, which is accursed? Shall I acquit someone with dishonest scales, with a bag of false weights? Your rich people are violent. Your inhabitants are liars, and their tongues speak deceitfully. Therefore, I have begun to destroy you, to ruin you because of your sins. You will eat, but not be satisfied. Your stomach will still be empty. You will store up, but save nothing. Because what you save, I will give to the sword. You will plant, but not harvest. You will press olives, but not use the oil. You will crush grapes, but not drink the wine. When he's talking about this symbolically, it's saying the oil is the representation of the Holy Spirit. The wine is the joy of God, spiritually. So what he's saying over here is that you will be crushing the grapes to harvest some joy. That will not happen because you're doing your own thing. You will press the olives to get the oil, the anointing oil, the Holy Spirit, but you will not receive it. 16, and last one, but not least. You have observed the statutes of Omri and all the practices of Ahab's house. You have followed their traditions. Therefore, I will give you over to ruin and your people to this derision. You will bear the scorn of the nation. So that was the results of the people, the wicked people, that they were not following God. In that moment, he was talking to his people, the Israelites, and he called them to the courts and called the witness, the mountains, the heavens, and say, I already declared to you what is the good thing. Just do those things, and we will be fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's the living sacrifice that we have to do every single day in our life. Praise you. We worship you, God. Thank you. We love you. Once again, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the fathers. Thank you for the mothers. Thank you for all the things that you are doing in our life. You know what is the needs of us. You know. So thank you. Because we know that our time, we will reap harvest, a good harvest. We will act justly. We will love mercy. And we will walk humbly, each other, loving each other, removing any plans of the enemy of our life, enjoying every second with you in your presence. Thank you for the church. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the teaching that you are bringing in our hearts and our minds. We love you and we worship you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship him in spirit and truth.